Today we're going to look at some of what God wants us to do in our midst and with each other. And it's going to help us to get to know that we know Jesus Christ. Knowing that we know Him is very important. You know, about 3 years ago, I had the opportunity to witness to an old friend of mine. He was having some difficulties in his life, and he asked me to meet with him. We talked for a while, and then I told him that the Lord was very helpful to me in my life with some of the things that he was going through, and that he would do the same, that Jesus would do the same for him if he would trust in him. Then he asked me a question that every Christian ought to know the answer to. He asked me, how do you know him? How do you know him? And he was really genuine in his question. He really wanted to know, how do I know? I know the Lord. Well, I gave my friend an answer based on a couple of the verses, actually, in this passage of Scripture. But this passage gives us three really good answers to the question, how do we know him? How do I know him? I want us to look at this passage, starting in verse 10. It says, and if you don't have your Bible with you, you can look in the middle of our bulletin. You'll see the passage. But in verse 10 of 1 John chapter 3, it says this. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifest. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil, and his brothers were righteous. Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. Whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, because he laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? My little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. And whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. Let's pray for a moment. Father, I pray that you would really help us to understand what this passage is saying to us. I pray that your Holy Spirit would enlighten us, that it would speak directly, that you would speak directly to our hearts through your word here. And Father, I pray that you would help us not only to understand it, but apply it to our lives. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, in our passage today, we see the Apostle John reassuring a congregation of believers that have had their faith ridiculed by false teachers. So their faith was shaken. They were having doubts about their relationship with the Lord because these false teachers had been ridiculing them and criticizing their faith and saying that their faith was not genuine. And so John, in his letter here, and in this passage in particular, is trying to reassure them that they really do know him, that they really do know the Lord. Look at verse 19. It says, by this we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. This is what John is giving this instruction for. That's the reason. He wants us as believers in Jesus Christ to have assurance that we know the Lord, that we know Him. And in doing that, He reveals some ways that we can know that we know Him. This verse, 19, reveals that Christians can have doubts. You know, why is he writing this? Why is he saying it this way? Why is he saying that by this we may know we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts? Why? Because sometimes in our hearts we have doubts, don't we? We do have doubts. So we need to have these truths that are revealed in this passage of Scripture in our lives so that we can know, so that we can know. Now, it is not wrong for us to ask ourselves, do I really know I know Him? Do I really know that I know Him? This is a question that may even come from another believer who is genuinely concerned about our salvation. Understand, when someone asks me, do you really know that you know Jesus? I'm not offended by that. I'm not. Because number one, I do know. And number two, I want to be able to examine my life at any point to make sure that my faith is real so that I can reassure myself of the confidence I have in Jesus Christ. So if someone says something like that to you, don't be offended. Don't be upset. Actually, be grateful for someone caring enough about you to inquire about your relationship with the Lord and give you another opportunity to reassure your heart that you are abiding in Christ. Okay? This question may even come from an unbeliever who is seeking a relationship with the Lord. So it is very important that we have an answer to the question, how do I know that I know Him? Now, I believe if we confront this question with the truths revealed in this passage, we will know that we know Him. So let's take a look at this passage and see how we can know that we know Him. First of all, you can know that you know Him by the love you show other Christians. You can know that you know you too many knows. You can know that you know Him by the love you show to other Christians. Now, the Apostle John was given this command by Jesus Himself. We see the command given here that we should love one another, and it's found there in a few of the verses here. In verse 11, it says that we should love one another. In verse 23, it says, and love one another. But I want us to go to where John heard it from the mouth of Jesus. So turn to the Gospel of John. Okay? It's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So turn to the Gospel of John in chapter 13. Gospel of John in chapter 13. Jesus is with his disciples. He has just had the Last Supper with his disciples. And I want you to see verse 34 of John chapter 13. Verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, notice when Jesus gives this command for us to love each other, He qualifies it by saying, as I have loved you. Now, John explains what kind of love Jesus displayed back in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. Look what it says. It says, by this we know love, because He, Jesus, laid down His life for us, and we also ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. This is the kind of love that Jesus wants us to display to each other. He commanded us when he was on this earth to love one another as he loved us. And what kind of love was that? It was a sacrificial love where he laid down his life for the benefit of all of us. This is the measure of the kind of love that is found in Christ. And that's the kind of love that he wants us to display. He wants us to measure our love for others by the love that he displayed when he died on the cross for us. Remember, Jesus Christ sacrificed his life. He gave his life so that we might have our sins forgiven. He gave his life so that we might have our sins forgiven and so that we could have eternal life. He rose from the dead and showed us that he can fulfill his promise of eternal life to us when we trust in him. But understand the great love that was displayed here. Understand that this was a great, great love that he displayed when he laid down his life. It was a sacrificial love. It was a love that said, I'm willing to give my life so that you can have your weaknesses overcome. So that I can help you with your weaknesses. So that I can help you with your faults. So that I can help you with your needs. I'm willing to do everything I can to help you in that way. And so this is the kind of sacrificial love that John wants us to display to one another and that Jesus wants us to display to one another. Now, this kind of sacrificial love would rarely be displayed in us actually dying for someone. Okay? So John gives a practical example of the kind of love we should have for each other. Look at verse 17. Look at verse 17. It says, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? Now, the example John gives here brings out a principle to guide us in our love toward each other. When you see a brother in need, don't ignore them. Be willing to lay down your life and get involved in helping them. Get involved in helping them. In other words, we don't see someone that has a need and say, well, brother, I'll pray for you. God bless you. Be ye warm and filled. And, you know, forget them, right? You just forget it at that point. You're done with it, right? That's just saying something with words in tongue, but not in deed, right? And so be really willing. Hey, you know, you need help with, you know, something, and I know how to do that. You know, suppose your washer breaks down and you need help with your washer. Well, and if I find out about it, I'm going to try and help you. Our washer is breaking down, so I'm going to have to help my wife tomorrow and fix our washer. But you know what I'm saying? I'm saying this. I'm saying, suppose there's someone that needs a friend. Someone needs a friend, and you know about it. You know they need a friend. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to try and reach out to them? Lay down your life? Now understand, being someone's friend is a sacrifice to many, to a degree. Okay? Being a true friend to someone is a sacrifice. It takes time. It means that you just can't sit home and read your books. Okay? And be uninvolved in some other people's life. It means that you actually have to sacrifice your time and what you may want to do to be a part of this person's life. Okay? But that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to love others so much that when we see their need, we're willing to fulfill that need. Just think how strong our congregation would be if we went by this principle all the time. If we said, hey, so-and-so is having a struggle, let's help them out. Okay? And it may not even be a bunch of us knowing about it. It may just be you knowing about it, and you help that person out. And then someone else knows about another need that someone has. And we're actually looking for people's needs and helping them with them. That's what this love is all about. Okay? Us actually looking to help other Christians and helping them. Helping them. Being willing to help. This is something that shows that we really know Jesus. That we really know Him. If we're willing to help others, are we selfish and self-centered with our time, our talents, and our resources? Or are we willing to really help people? Now that takes a lot of work, and that's why it's called a labor of love. So, if you see a young believer who needs discipleship, are you willing to disciple them? Are you willing to put in the time and effort that it takes to get them in a growing relationship with the Lord? Getting involved in the lives of others requires sacrifice. It is not easy. That is why the Bible calls it a labor of love. But we are commanded in verse 18 to do more than lip service to this command. True love demands action. True love demands action. I was reading an illustration about a husband and a wife. And of course, you know, you tell your wife you love her. And sometimes she believes it and sometimes she doesn't, right? Well, this guy decided that one day he was home and his wife was out shopping and doing all kinds of errands. And he was looking at the carpet and he noticed that the vacuum cleaner was over off to the side. And he just decided he'd start vacuuming the rug. And he vacuumed it and then he saw the neat lines that were made. And so he made it all look symmetrical on the carpet and finished it up. Sat down, started watching TV again. His wife comes in the door and she looks around at the carpet and she's flabbergasted. She's like, Who vacuumed the carpet? And the husband said, I did. All of a sudden, she jumps on him, starts smothering him with hugs and kisses, and says, oh, you love me, you love me. You see what happened there? She was reassured of his love by a simple action, vacuuming the rug, okay? He could have told her, I love you 100 times with his lips. But what mattered even more than that was he vacuumed the rug. He took action, okay? Now, that's what we need to understand. When we have these actions in our lives that display we have love for other Christians, it's going to show something to us. It's going to reassure us that we really do know Jesus Christ. That we really do know Him. Now, I want us to go back to John 13. Let's go back to the Gospel of John, chapter 13 again. Gospel of John, chapter 13, in verse 35. The one right after the commandment to love one another. Look what it says. Verse 35, chapter 13 of John, it says, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now, understand. Notice that Jesus says, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Now that all includes you. That all includes you. You'll know it. All the believers around you will know it. And anyone in the world that sees your love will know that you know him. Understand, this is a great assurance to us. This is no coincidence that this verse is right after the commandment to love one another. There is great assurance in the fact that we love other believers, that we're willing to lay down our lives to sacrifice for other believers. That's why John is able to say what he says in verse 14 of John, 1 John chapter 3. He says, "We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren." We know it. We know it. There is great assurance in our hearts that we know him because we love other believers. Because we love other believers. That's what we need to understand. How do you know that you know him? Are you displaying sacrificial love toward your fellow believers? Or are you selfish in your time, talents, and resources? If you can examine your life and see that you are displaying Christ-like love to others, it will give you great assurance. That's what I want you to see. I want you to have that assurance. I want you to know that you know him. Why? Because that's what the Bible wants. That's what God wants. God wrote this passage of Scripture so that you could know that you know him. And if you look at your life and you examine your life and you could see that, hey, I am displaying Christ-like love to fellow believers, that will give you great assurance. It may also reveal your need to do more to display Christ-like love to fellow believers. Okay? But in that, it will also give you assurance. If the Lord is speaking to your heart about displaying Christ-like love to others more, that should give you assurance too. That's saying, hey, the Lord's dealing with me to do what he wants me to do. That's great, okay? So, because the goal here is that you would not doubt your salvation, not doubt that you know him, but it would assure you that you know him, okay? Now, let's look at verse 19. Says, "And by this we know that we are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and knows all things. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." Now, you can know that you know him by the peace you gain when you dwell on the truth. You can know you know him by the peace you gain when you dwell on the truth. Now, these particular verses are a little cumbersome and they can be difficult to interpret. But let me say this. Sometimes our heart can play tricks on us. Sometimes our heart can play tricks on us. Now, the term heart here refers to the center of consciousness or self-knowledge. Now, what does that mean? It is the thoughts of our mind that can be influenced by our emotions. Okay? It's the thoughts of our mind that can be influenced by our emotions. So what John is telling us is that confidence comes by dwelling on the truths about God. Notice he says, our heart may condemn us, but God is greater than our heart. He's trying to get us to focus on God and the truths about God instead of the emotions of our heart. Okay? That's what we need to understand. And when we do, when we focus on those truths, it will give us a great peace in our hearts. So you need to let your thoughts on the truth dictate your emotions instead of your emotions dictating what you think is true. Let me repeat that. You need to let your thoughts on the truth dictate your emotions instead of your emotions dictating what you think is true. Okay? Because a lot of times we feel like, the world is just collapsing upon me. But the truth is, God is holding you in the palm of His hand. Right? That's the truth. So when we dwell on that truth about God and His promises to us, it will affect our emotions differently. When we realize that we're held in the palm of the hand of Almighty God, that should make us happy. That should make us feel safe. That should give us peace in our hearts. So that's what we're talking about here. Dennis Davidson says this. He says, if we have trusted Christ as our Savior, certain facts remain constant regardless of our fluctuating moods. Feelings say, I am sinful, lost, condemned. Fact, truth replies, we are justified by faith. Feelings say, I can't face my responsibilities. Fact replies, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Feeling says, I'm lonely and afraid. Fact replies, I will never leave you. The Apostle John recognized that feelings can misrepresent fact. And that's what we need to understand. That's what he's trying to tell us in this passage of Scripture. If you can dwell on the truths about God and the promises that He has made to you, and gain peace from those promises, you can know that you know Him. You can know that you know Him. But if you look at God's Word and you see that promise of eternal life and you say, I don't know if I really have eternal life, then you don't know Him. And you need to get to know Him. Okay? If you can look at God's Word and look at His promises of protection and provision for your life, and you say, yeah, but I don't know that He's going to protect me. I don't know that He's going to provide for me. I don't know if He has the power to help me overcome the sins in my life. Maybe you need to check and see if you really do know Him. But if you look at those promises from God, and you gain peace and assurance from those promises, you know Him. You know Him. And that's what we want you to see. How do you know that you know Him? When you gain peace from the truths about God. That's what it's all about. This is how we know that we know Him. If the truths of God's Word brings peace to your heart, if these truths don't bring peace to your heart, then you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's what we want you to get to the point where you either really know that you know Him or you know that you need to know Him. Okay? Now look at verse 22. This is my final point. It says, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Now, you can know that you know Him by seeing God's answers to your prayers. By seeing God's answers to your prayers. Look at how God has answered your prayers. That's something you need to ask yourself. Now, John qualifies God's answers to our prayers with our willingness to do His will. Okay? And we know that God answers our prayers when we are doing His will and it is in accordance with His purposes. There's no problem with that. We understand that. But the question is, have you ever seen God answer your prayers? Have you ever been in this experience where you were in God's will and you were following Him and you were praying in His will and He answered your prayers? If you can look at that time and see that, where God answered your prayers, well, that ought to give you great assurance that you know Him. That's something that we can look at and say, hey, I know that I know Him because He has answered my prayers. He has answered my prayers. It's a wonderful thing to see God answer prayer. We have a prayer journal on Wednesday nights, and we write down your requests. And it is awesome to see God answering those prayers. How do we know that we know Him? Because He's answering our prayers. Hey, that's how we know we know Him. It's a wonderful thing to know that we know Jesus Christ. Look at verse 13. It says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." Then look at verse 23. It says, "And this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment." According to verse 13, Christians will face hostility from the unbelieving world. But the church should be a place of refuge from that hostility. When we follow the commandment to believe in Jesus Christ and love one another, we will be a part of that refuge from the world's hostility. That's what we need to see. Not only that, but you will have confidence that you know Him. You can know that you know Him by your love for other Christians, by the peace you get from the truth about God, and from the answers to your prayers.